Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, hard to believe we're already into the third hour, but time marches on. It waits for no man, even yours truly, James Edwards and Keith Alexander here in the Political Cesspool radio program. Saturday evening, last Saturday of February, the 23rd. February is a short month after all. And we're coming to you live tonight from downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out at the AM, FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. Our good friends Sam Bushman and his great family who keep everything running so smoothly here. And on the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Been another show, back-to-back weeks, during which we have not featured a guest, but we are getting through a lot of news. And Keith has brought a lot of news to the radio station tonight. I've just got mountains of newspapers here on the desk. And we're going to get to the first one here. Slave Haven is alive, according to the Commercial Appeal. Well, what is Slave Haven? More black history. Actors add drama to the Burkle Estate tour here in Memphis. And here is the, here's the story. The historical marker outside of 826 North 2nd Street briefly chronicles the antebellum story of Burkle Estate, the site of stockyards and a home that folklore persists, was also a haven for slaves escaping to freedom on the Underground Railroad. Inside the house, though, folklore, why can't I say that word? Tongue-tied. Folklore gives way to historical narrative. Keith brought his dog to work tonight. The historical narrative and stockyards operator Jacob Burkle becomes an abolitionist with business connections in Cairo, Illinois, who also connected him to the runaways who stopped off here as they followed the drinking gourd, quote unquote. Guided by astronomical signs and assisted by good people, of course, along the way, there's no... The Zambians guided by the Zambian space program and assisted by good people. There's no doubt that slaves made their way north through Memphis. The Burkle Estate or Slave Haven Underground Railroad Museum tells the story in a way that, as it did Saturday, midway through Black History Month, we can draw almost overwhelmingly a crowd of history lovers and the curious. Saturday also brought the debut performance at the house in costume, no less, by the University of Memphis's year-old Burkle Theater and Arts Group, led by junior theater and sociology major Allison Truly, who said it didn't really matter how many slaves had been there, she could still feel their presence. Keith.
Again, what is unsaid is incredible in this, because that Burkle house that they are touting as being a station in the Underground Railroad, where there supposedly is a false floor and a basement with rows of seating down there, where apparently these slaves were, you know, waiting for nightfall so they could sneak down to the river and follow the drinking gourd out. This house wasn't even built until the late 1870s. And I believe this is correct, James. I think that Robert E. Lee surrendered to U.S. Grant at Appomattox Courthouse on, it was either April the 9th or April the 14th of 1865. So, consequently, what's going on here? This is a total fabrication. But, you know, this is too good a story to let the truth get in the way of, as far as the left is concerned. The left has been constantly caught in lies like this. But they say, when caught in these lies, that it is so important, that the underlying truth is so important, that we don't need to be distracted by the fact that the actual truth of these things is not there. You know, it's a true lie, as they say, you know, quite often. But, you know, there's no such thing as a true lie. It's either a lie or it's the truth. And the truth will set you free. And they don't want the people of America to be set free. They want them to be enslaved to this bogus liberal narrative of, one, what the Civil War was about, two, what happened in it, three, what happened in the run-up to it, And the last thing they ever want to hear, they just totally tune you out when you say this, slavery has been part of human history since the beginning of time. It still exists today. And black people were not the only people to be enslaved. In fact, Africans were enslaving Americans into the 19th century. That's what the Barbary pirates were doing. They were Africans. And the reason they sent our Navy to the Mediterranean to wipe out the Barbary pirates is that they were capturing American merchant ships and enslaving the white crews. Also, in today's America, what do you think a black pimp is? He is a slave master. He is enslaving women, and in particular, white women. So, you know, this is the part of the story that you're never going to hear. Slavery was some diabolical invention by white people to torment the humble but lovable and innocent, sweet black people of the world. That's the way that the left pitches it. And again, don't confuse them with the facts. Slave Haven is a little business. They got this house, and Burkle was Jewish, so if there was ever a candidate for being the most liberal person in antebellum Memphis, it was probably the one or two Jews that lived in Memphis at that time, and he may have been one, and he may have even sympathized with the abolitionist movement, but there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that, one, this house had anything to do with the Underground Railroad, or two, that Mr. Burkle had anything to do with the Underground Railroad. This is all a total fabrication, a figment of the overheated imagination of American leftists and Memphis blacks.
Got a story here from our fearless leaders in Utah. We mentioned this earlier, Detroit named most miserable city in the United States, according to Forbes, and this story comes from Reuters. With its violent crimes, high unemployment, dwindling population, and financial crisis, Detroit was named on Thursday as the most miserable city in the United States. Why do they have violent crimes? Why do they have high unemployment? These people don't want to work. Dwindling population, they're leaving the apocalypse and a financial crisis. Well, with all the corruption, what would you expect? Detroit might be the most miserable city, Keith, but inner city Memphis can't be much further behind because they are populated with the same sorts of chronic malcontents.
Well, I think that Detroit is 85% black. Memphis is 65% black. So, you know, when you're number two, you try harder. That's apparently what we're doing. Let me get back to Slave Haven. Slave Haven is a racket. Every public and private school student in Memphis gets dragged through that specious, phony historical site at some point in their school career at the cost of $11 a head. So the people that are running Slave Haven, who are all black, are making money by the hatful by running this false historical site, a site that was not built until the late 1870s, at least 10 years after slavery was abolished in America.
Got to take a break. We'll be back with more fun right after this.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spammed because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, we continue to sift through Keith's newspaper articles here. And what I've got here from the Commercial Appeal, Sunday, February 17th, deadbeat doctors is the focus. Delinquent docs simply refuse to pay off loans for medical training. Here's the story out of Washington. That's the thing about the Memphis paper. Now, the story is out of Washington because it's a cut-and-paste job like most of them are. But pay for doctors is rising, but so is medical school debt. Here's the scoop. Payback can be a bitter pill. I had to watch my mouth there. Yeah. Payback can be a bitter pill for the nation's deadbeat doctors. The government has seized tax refunds and unemployment checks, claimed judgments against them in federal court, banned them from billing Medicare and Medicaid, even posted their names on a public shaming list. Yet, 930 medical professionals nationwide remain in default, owing the government more than $116 million for student loans. Many stopped repaying more than 18 years ago. And it goes on to provide you a list, a couple of the names on the list. Detroit dentist Dwayne Sr. He lives in Detroit. He has been on the default list since 1997 and reported owing $651,783 as of November 1st. A graduate of Meharry Medical College in Nashville, Sr. works in a small dental practice. Dr. LaRose McCluskey of Cheney, Washington, an orthopedic doctor who graduated from the Kansas City University of Medicine and Biosciences in 1987, owes the most of anyone on the list, $933,675. The initial federal claim against her in 1998 was for $222,000. She practiced family medicine in Washington State for about 5 years and then stopped to raise her 4 children and became a medical missionary. Okay, Keith, why am I reading that story?
You're reading that story because of what was unsaid and what is never said. All of these doctors are black. For example, dentist Senior, as he was called, who went to Meharry Medical School. They don't tell you that Meharry Medical School in Nashville is one of the very few black medical schools. It's a what they call an HBCU, historically black college or university. If I were to tell you that 90% of the student body there was black, I would be underestimating the black representation in their student body. Almost everybody there is black, so this doctor is undoubtedly black, as are all these other doctors. When you can read between the lines like we can here at the political cesspool, We know what they're talking about. And again, this is the unspeakable truth. It's like the emperor's new clothes. The deadbeat docs are the same people that are the deadbeat mortgage homeowners that caused the financial meltdown. And again, it was caused because black people historically don't pay their loans off very well. Why do we have all these deadbeat docs? Well, could it have something to do with the fact that blacks are given massive affirmative action to get into medical school, dental school, and to be equipped to step into high positions in society? But what this whole thing disregards is the fact that black people in America, black Americans, have an average IQ or a median IQ of 85, according to the book The Bell Curve that came out in the mid-90s. White Americans have a median or 50 percentile IQ of 100. So consequently, that 15 points is what they call a standard deviation point, which is very significant when you consider that all human intelligence for all groups is distributed over a bell-shaped graph. That was the great finding that was highlighted in the book, The Bell Curve. Because it's a bell curve, what happens is you start at the median, the 50 percentile, you slope off a little bit, and then you fall off the cliff, and you tail off. You tail off so that basically what that means, 15-point differential and a bell curve distribution means that only 16% of black people in America are as smart as or smarter than the 50th percentile or the average white person. Likewise, only 16% of white people are as dumb as or dumber than the 50th percentile black person. So consequently, expecting blacks to be represented like white people or like Asian people or like Jewish people who have even higher IQs is a foolish exercise in equality. Freedom and equality are sworn enemies. The freer people are, the more unequal they become. There's no way to make men equal in their outcomes without resorting to totalitarian means. And when you try to, as they have done in America's medical schools, what you find happening is that you get black doctors who are segregated, who are at the very bottom of their profession. Nobody wants to go to them much, at least anybody that has any sense and wants to get good medical treatment. And furthermore, these people, not being particularly smart, don't have a lot of entrepreneurial or management skills either. So consequently, their efforts to have a successful medical practice disproportionately fail, which leads to a disproportionate delinquency rate. Why won't they come out and tell us? Why won't they call, as my grandfather used to say, a spade a dirty shovel? Why won't they tell you the truth? It's the emperor's new clothes. Everybody knows that has any type of familiarity with racial reality in America what this story is all about, but they will not come out and say it. They will not say the truth. And they don't want you to know the truth. They want you dumbed down like those students in the Seattle school system, James.
Well, they got it. I mean, and it's, as you mentioned, the fool's errand of bringing everyone up to the highest level didn't work out. So now they're going to try to dumb everyone down to the lowest common denominator. And, you know, it's just, you know, what you mentioned is a matter of fact. IQ scores exist. There are differences in intelligence throughout the different groups, and whites fall somewhere towards the mid-upper level. We are still behind Asians and Jews, but it's just the way of the world. It's not to say that, you know, these people aren't as deserving of the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness, but when it comes down to brass tacks and you get into critical fields like medicine, there has to be some sort of infusion of reality and honesty into the discussion, and we're trying to provide it here, as blunt as it may sound, to the uninitiated.
Well, look, you've got to have a meritocracy. The only way that you can have peace in a multiracial, multicultural, multi-ethnic nation is to have a non-racial basis in which you decide who gets the goodies in life and who doesn't. We have that. It's called SAT scores, MCAT scores, ACT scores, about who gets into what colleges and universities, who gets to join what professions and who doesn't. But, of course, the left isn't going to abide a meritocracy because their favorite people don't get to succeed. What happens is that reality sets in when you have a meritocracy and you find most of these people not in the top positions of power and authority. What happens to a nation when you have unqualified people in positions of power and authority? Well, you start declining in relation to the rest of the world. That's exactly what's happened to America over the past 60 years. America in 1950 was at the top of the world economically. Now we're the greatest debtor nation. We used to be the great engine, the forge and furnace of industrial might in the world. In 1950, we manufactured 96% of all the goods we consumed. Now we're the greatest debtor nation in the world, and we don't have hardly any manufacturing. We've sat by while our elites allowed all to be shipped overseas. Meanwhile, more and more people every day are put on entitlements. 47% of the American population now is receiving government entitlement money of some sort. They've decided that to replace having a manufacturing base where people got good paying jobs with benefits, they were going to provide, fill that void with government entitlements, and of course they're running out of other people's money to give it to them with. That's a sad story of what liberalism and socialism have done to a once mighty nation. We'll be back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Basically, what we're doing this hour is we're plucking articles from Keith's assortment of commercial appeal editions in recent days. We're going behind enemy lines. We're making sense of the news that has appeared in the local paper here. We're going to get to the next one in just a second, but I got another news story here. You were talking about, Keith, in the tail end of that last segment, how much things have changed in recent decades here in this country. How about this one? This was sent to me by Sam Bushman. A 104-year-old woman was trying to sign up and get a Facebook account, apparently, up in Grosse Pointe, Michigan. And a Facebook spokesman apologized for her inconvenience and being unable to list her actual birth year of 1908. Apparently, Facebook doesn't go back that far. And that's an interesting enough story. But, Keith, let me ask you this as we try to figure out what we're going to talk about next. How much have things changed in this woman's life? We talk about the change I've seen since the early 80s, the change you've seen since the 50s. How much have things changed in this country and around the world since 1908 when the newest Facebook member was born?
It would absolutely be incredible to be a person that was born in 1900 who lived past 2000. You first of all would have seen all of this technological advancement coupled with this incredible societal decline and decay that has marked the last half of the 20th century and the first part of the 21st century. It would be bewildering. It would be, you know, everything that you took for granted when you were born would be turned on its head, and you would see America in decline and our leadership in total and complete denial about this decline. Just like we were talking about the Seattle school students who were supposed to be, you know, of better stock and smarter than all of us knuckle-dragging troglodytes here in Red State America that can't even tell you, for example, how many states there are in the United States of America. It was just incredibly, it was absolutely mind-blowing. You would not imagine that anybody, that, you know, these people in the Seattle school system in 1950s America, retarded people knew more than they knew. Okay, that's putting it very bluntly, but that's exactly what the best way I can think of to compare it. And you know, we now have people functioning at a an effectively illiterate level that are attending supposedly fine by today's standards public schools. Imagine how bad the people are in terms of intelligence and in terms of, historical and educational awareness that are at these failing or bad schools like the ones we have in Memphis. You know, it's just, you know, I'm surprised that these people have enough sense to come in out of the rain, James.
I always like it. Keith always comes up with one of them old-time sayings. Keith's frantically looking through his papers here. I thought we were done with that one. So this is when we got to get this thing on camera so you can see what goes on here, not just behind the scenes, but sometimes during a live segment. So we've got papers galore here. They're just flying all around the studio, and apparently I'd put one on the other side of the table. Jesse Jackson Jr. Oh, now why did they go after him for corruption and never the old man? That's what I want to know, but... you want me to read this whole thing? This is an epic here. We'll read a little bit, and then we'll let Keith talk about it. Lust for power didn't bring down Jackson Jr. None of the news that's in the Memphis paper, it was actually written here. This is all stuff that they copied from some other legitimate newspaper. I saw a story, before I get into this, I saw a story where Memphis is supposedly bidding on like the 2016 or 2024 Olympics. What a joke. This two-bit dump. Memphis used to be a pretty fine city as late as the 1960s, but could you imagine the city of Memphis with this woefully incompetent government hosting something as auspicious as the Olympics? It's just a joke waiting to be told.
What's going to happen for certain is that no black leader, quote unquote, in Memphis is going to contribute a red cent to this. They're going to all be there with their hands out.
It's like the name of the Grizzlies.
just like they did with the Grizzlies when the NBA team, the Memphis Grizzlies, came here. You had blacks all lined up to be owners, but like the new affirmative action class in South Africa and Zimbabwe, they didn't have the money to contribute, so they didn't. They got their parts of the pie free. Well, that's what's going to happen on this. I've said before, and I'll say it again, I can't imagine no worse fate in life than to be a very wealthy white person in Memphis, Tennessee. You would be besieged, I mean literally besieged, by liberal charities and black charities wanting your money all the time. You would have to build some type of Chinese wall. And in fact, a lot of them have to hire full-time offices just to deal with the deluge of neediness that comes out of Memphis, because these people cannot do for themselves. They have a parasite host relationship with the larger white culture. And that's why they are so alarmed, for example, when they can't get access to the white people's money. This is what's happened in places like Birmingham, Alabama, St. Louis, Illinois, East St. Louis, Illinois, St. Louis, Missouri, East St. Louis, Illinois, Gary, Indiana, Camden, New Jersey. When they can no longer access white people's money, they go bankrupt. And Memphis, now as a 65% black city, where are they going to find the money? Even with Fred Smith and Pitt Hyde and all these multimillionaires here, FedEx and all these big companies, they still can't provide the money necessary to compete with places like Salt Lake City, for example, when they had the Olympics there. Why? Because Salt Lake City is vastly majority white, and Memphis is vastly majority black, and the only way that you get the money to do these type of things is from the white community.
And not just that, Keith. Blacks...
away, the Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. There's a better life for me.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, the station was struck by lightning just a minute ago, but we're back online now. Little did I know as we continued to talk during that last segment that we were completely off the air, but we rebooted everything and we're reconnected now, and Hurricane Sandy is over. But, well, that was fun, wasn't it? I mean, again, as we say, we like to prove we are live. We were talking about Jesse Jackson Jr. here. And we're actually having one of the best segments of the evening, if I do say so myself, before I knew that we were talking to each other here, not the audience. But we are back here for a final segment, and we were talking about Jesse Jackson in Chicago. Jesse Jackson Jr., excuse me, the junior is important there. But the article from the Memphis paper, which was copy and pasted from a legitimate newspaper, you know, in Chicago, they actually have a few stories that originate, that are written by people that work for the Tribune. For instance, here in Memphis, you just read everybody else's news and it's cut and paste. I don't see how the commercial appeal can have any subscriptions because you can get all of this other stuff online. But Lust for Power didn't bring down a Jackson Jr. Flashy objects, bling, in other words, were his undoing. The story out of Chicago, Jesse Jackson Jr.'s political career wasn't ended by attempts to amass political power. Instead, it was the former congressman's desire for flashy items, including a gold-plated Rolex watch, furs, and collectibles such as Eddie Van Halen's guitar. Jesse Jackson Jr., son of civil rights leader Jesse Jackson, so the story reads, was charged Friday with one count of conspiracy for allegedly spending $750,000 in campaign money on personal expenses. Campaign money, Keith, keep that in mind. So you're contributing to this man's campaign, and here's what he's doing with it according to the charges. This is what he allegedly purchased with your campaign dollars. Your campaign dollars at work, and they got for him a gold-plated men's Rolex watch for $43,000. So he's got a nice little gold-plated men's Rolex watch. Excuse me, $43,000. Bruce Lee memorabilia, $10,000, porcelain collector's items, $1,500, children's furniture, $10,000, Martin Luther King Jr. autograph, $11,000, a football signed by the U.S. presidents, $5,000. So a football signed by the living presidents is $5,000, but Martin Luther King is $11,000, if that shows you where we're going. A fur cape, not a fur coat, mind you, but a fur cape. For the Black Superman, $5,000. Eddie Van Halen guitar, $4,000. Malcolm X memorabilia, $2,000. Jimi Hendrix memorabilia, $3,000. Again, if he wants to buy that, that's fine. But he bought it with campaign dollars. And, again, we see it every day. It seems as every week there's some Memphis politician like Jesse Jackson Jr., if you catch my drift, going to jail for corruption or bribery or taking money for favors or misallocating campaign funds. And the mayor of Vicksburg, Mississippi, another black gentleman, also arrested this week for similar crimes.
Every week in the Memphis newspaper, James, there is some local black politician who is being charged or is copping a plea or doing something based on similar corruption charges. Third world people have third world ways. Black people and Hispanic people, unfortunately, are third world people, and it doesn't matter that they've been in the first world since 1619, which is how long black people have been in America. When they're put into positions of power and authority, they revert to the third world ways. They are constantly having their hands out for bribes. They're constantly trying to shake down people for money. This is as predictable as the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. It happens all the time. But no one is willing to call them out on it. Instead, we're supposed to feel sorry for Jesse Jackson Jr. This is the same Jesse Jackson Jr. who, as one of Jesse Jackson Sr.'s children, was a beneficiary, probably, of getting one of these Anheuser-Busch distributorships that are extremely lucrative. This is Busch beer, Budweiser beer, and whatnot. It's like a license to print money to have one of these things, and Jesse Jackson and the NAACP and Jesse Jackson's particular group, whatever it's called, started a campaign against Anheuser-Busch, charging them with racism. What a surprise. And they settled out basically by Anheuser-Busch agreeing to give all of Jesse Jackson's worthless children beer distributorships in various cities throughout the United States so they could have a constant stream of money. At the point where Americans, and particularly black Americans, stop drinking beer and getting drunk, that's when their livelihood will be threatened. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, James. So consequently, this is the new American normal. This is the new normal. We have an article here, too, by Wendy Thomas, who is one of the real, actual writers for the Memphis newspaper, the Commercial Appeal, known affectionately here in Memphis as the Communist Appeal, about Forest Park. And this was in the Sunday, February the 10th, 2013 edition. And it says, Forest Park vote yanks ugly anchor to city's past. In other words, dropping Forest name from a park, yanks an ugly anchor to the city's past. Let me tell you, this again is an emperor's new clothes moment. There is nothing in Memphis's past nearly as ugly as Memphis's present. Memphis is present with the rampant corruption that we have, with the, you know, absolutely, you know, bottom of the barrel schools that we have, the lack of an industrial base, the lack of productive citizens, the constant effort to boost unqualified black people into positions of authority and power, which you will really see magnified in a place like Memphis. And you'll see all these sellout white liberals selling out the opportunities of white working class and middle class kids to try to buy peace for themselves. They call this navigating the new post-racial reality. Nothing in Memphis's past is nearly as ugly as Memphis's present, and it's time for somebody to get up and say that. That's what America is. America is going down. Everything that the Republican Party is doing, everything that the elites are doing, basically qualifies as rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as the bow is dipping down and the prow is going up in the air. We're about to go down, not only as a city, but as a state and a country. And this is exactly what the left wants, unfortunately. I used to think this was an unintended consequence or a byproduct, but they wouldn't persist in doing this with all the evidence that we have, all the Jesse Jackson Juniors, all the Otis Jacksons, all the, look, Martin Luther King was the same way. He was funneled money by the Soviet communists through their bag man in America named Stanley Levison. If Martin Luther King had not been getting money, he would have given up the civil rights movement and gone back to the good old tried and true method of shaking down his congregation at his church to make money. Instead, he kept on the job because he kept getting money and women funneled to him by the Communist Party. So he was, in effect, a communist operative working with a Jewish gentleman named Stanley Levison, who was a bag man for the Soviet communists in America. They gave him money and basically told him to spend it in ways that he felt would be most likely to advance the revolution and the downfall of America. And he concluded very early on that spending this money on Martin Luther King was the best way to accomplish those goals. There is a Jewish gentleman, may he rest in peace, named Alan Stein, who wrote a very stunning expose about that. He has been on this show several times. It's a book called It's All Very Simple. And it's a expose of the real inner workings of the civil rights establishment in the 50s and 60s. It was not these saintly creatures that you've seen portrayed on the nightly news or in network specials.
Well, folks, that's about going to wrap things up tonight. Sorry for that little kerfuffle there where we had a couple of minutes of downtime. We absolutely did not know that we had a gremlin in the system here, and it was completely unavoidable until we got the cue from the network in Utah via the telephone that we were off. Did we reboot our system? And, well, we made it back. It's you know, we don't want anybody to fall asleep on us. Folks, we are just about out of time, and I want to share something with you. I wanted to tell you at the very beginning of the show, but I didn't want the remainder of the show to be upset. And we'll talk more about this in future weeks, I'm sure. Our good friend Bill Rowland is fighting for his life tonight, a man who helped found this show, a mentor to me, one of my very best friends in life. I don't really know how you go to a whole show and then transition to something like this, so I'm just going to tell you because I know you would like to know. Keith and I have visited Bill in the hospital this week, and things are in a very dire state indeed. All I can ask you to do, ladies and gentlemen, is pray for our friend and our compatriot, one of the finest Christian men and leaders I have ever known, a great family man in the fight of his life tonight at a hospital in Memphis with the cancer that he has been battling for 2 years. So please keep him in mind and his wife and children as well. That's it for James and Keith. We're out of time. We'll talk to you next week.